the blessed month of Ramadan.
In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to the 10th episode of our series, Blessed Month of Ramadan. Stay with us. We have reached the 10th day of the blessed month of Ramadan. Hopefully you have experienced beautiful spiritual developments in this month, when fasting individuals are the guests of God at the divine banquet. Fasting, especially the obligatory fast of the blessed month of Ramadan, washes away whims and carnal desires. In the light of purity and chastity resulting from fasting, those who fast, in addition to avoid eating and drinking during the daylight hours, try to keep their eyes, ears, tongue, and other parts of their bodies from committing whatever God has forbidden us, in order to reach an elevated status of piety that even refrains from thinking about committing sins. The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, said, "Fasting, in which one's soul avoids contemplation on commitment of sins, is superior to the level of fasting in which the related individual only refrains from eating and drinking." This doesn't mean that we should not refrain from eating and drinking for a number of known hours. This remark of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, intends to show us that we should also try to gain spiritual experience from fasting, in addition to refraining from eating and drinking for a number of hours in the blessed month of Ramadan. Today is the anniversary of the passing away of Umm al-Mu'mineen, the mother of all true believers, Hazrat Khadija, peace be upon her. The loyal and selfless wife of 25 long years of the Almighty's last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. As the First Lady of Islam, Hazrat Khadija, peace be upon her, always assisted her husband with her vast wealth during the tough and critical phase of Islam, when the Muslims were persecuted by the pagan Arabs. She was besides the Holy Prophet throughout all hardships and allocated all of her wealth for the advancement of the religion of Islam, to provide food, to provide clothing and shelter to the fledgling Muslim community. She had excellent ethical virtues and was highly prudent and wise, such that even in the pre-Islamic era, she was known as a chaste and innocent woman. During the 3 years of the socio-economic boycott of the Prophet and the Muslim community, when the Prophet's beloved uncle and guardian, Abu Talib, peace be upon him, took the Muslim community under his protection at the gorge still known as Sha'ba Abu Talib, just outside Mecca, it was the wealth of Hazrat Khadija, peace be upon her, that provided vital sustenance for the Muslim community. All her wealth was spent in this way, with no inheritance left for her only surviving child, her daughter Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. The Prophet of Islam, despite taking several spouses in the last 10 years of his life, out of social necessity and the need to break the taboos of the days of ignorance, used to cherish the memory of his beloved wife Khadija. The Holy Prophet said, "Never did God give me a better wife than her. When people didn't believe in me, she believed in me. When people belied me, she confirmed me. And when they didn't support me, she supported me, by her properties, and the Almighty and Glorious God granted me children by her, whilst I did not have children by other women. Ayah 54 of Surah Al-Ma'idah of the Holy Quran, God Almighty says, O you who have faith, should any of you desert his religion, Allah will soon bring a people whom he loves and who love him, who will be humble towards the faithful, stern towards the faithless, waging jihad in the way of Allah, not fearing the blame of any blamer. That is Allah's grace, which He grants to whoever He wishes. And Allah is all bounteous, all knowing. This ayah points out that God is needless of deceitful people, those who claim to be Muslims, whilst in their heart they don't have any faith, and their actions are against the spirit of Islam. For the sake of materialistic interests, they oppose God and the Prophet of God, and maintain friendship with the enemies. Such individuals gradually completely derail from the right path. So God, at the start of this ayah, and as a general principle, notes that those who claim to have faith but then desert religion would not be able to harm God and Islam, and Allah will soon replace the apostates with those whom God loves, and who in turn love Him. Meanwhile, those who are firm and true believers have special features. They are modest and humble towards the faithful and are stern towards the faithless and will show not even an iota of flexibility towards the enemies and the unjust. They also wage jihad in the way of Allah and do not fear the blame of any blamer in compliance with divine instructions and in defense of the righteousness and truthfulness. The truly faithful, whom God has referred to in this ayah, are courageous individuals who are fearless in their efforts to end wrong traditions and to oppose a majority that has derailed from the righteous path. At the end of this ayah, it is stated that this is Allah's grace, which He grants to whoever He wishes, and Allah is all bounteous, all knowing. Now let us speak of a healthy dietary regimen, especially in the blessed month of Ramadan. If a dietary regimen would be regulated based on scientific principles and with due consideration for the human body's needs, it would lead to one's health. Otherwise, it would distort the performance of the body's systems and would deteriorate the physical and mental health of an individual. Focusing on halal food is in line with this principle. A balanced and appropriate diet leaves more positive impact on the human soul. Thus, the Holy Quran invites everyone to consume halal food, whilst blaming those who deny themselves of some of the halal food. In ayah number 32 of Surah A'raf of the Holy Quran, we read, Say, who has forbidden the adornment of Allah which He has brought forth for His servants? And the good things of His provision. Today, it is observed that some individuals, in order to lose weight, adopt wrong plans and do not eat sufficient food. This group of people find the blessed month of Ramadan as a better opportunity for reaching their goal of weight loss. However, in view of the science of medicine, this group of individuals who do not appropriately respond to the needs of their body cells and who deny themselves of some halal foods are always ill. Meanwhile, the Almighty in the Holy Quran, in addition to recommending halal food, warns against haram food. Haram food is the one which has been earned through illegitimate channels, such as overcharging, such as theft or usury, and robbery of the treasury. In appearance, halal and haram foods are no different. However, haram food is a major impediment to mankind's development and growth. Prominent religious figures have always warned against the consequences of haram food on mankind's body and soul, noting that haram food pushes the individual towards commitment of sins. A lecturer at Semery School and University, Hojatul Islam Mahdavi Niyar, says, "Haram food wipes out blessings, leads to rejection of prayers, escalates the incentive for commitment of sins, and begets callousness. For instance, during the immortal epic of Ashura in Karbala, before his martyrdom, the chief of martyrs Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, the Holy Prophet's younger grandson and third infallible heir, told the godless troops of Umar ibn Sa'd that the reason they have become blind to the realities and their ears are not ready to listen to the truth is that their stomachs are filled with haram food, that is, food consumed through illegal and unlawful means."